Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. We are studying the Lord's Prayer, and tonight we are going to touch on the theme, Deliver Us from Evil. The urgent plea for such a time as this. Let us read together. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and a power, and a glory, forever. Amen. Deliver us from evil. This is the urgent plea for such a time as this. The preface, the praise, to preach, the power, the provision, the pardon, the protection, the preservation. As we consider this train of thought to guide us in the understanding of the Lord's Prayer, tonight we consider the second part of verse 13. But deliver us from evil. We mentioned last week that the word deliver is a plea for God Himself to deliver us from evil. The word simply means to rescue or to save. And the evil that is mentioned here in the original has a definite article attached to it. It refers to the evil one, Satan himself. Only God can deliver us from Satan. Satan is the tempter. Recall we said last week how he tempted our Lord after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan came to our Lord, and in his humanness and in his divinity, he overcame Satan. And how did Jesus overcome the evil one? It was by the revealed word of God, the scripture itself. And this prayer, we said, is a prayer for us to be equipped with the knowledge of his word so that we may use it at the right instant to ward off every temptation, to deliver us, to grant to us to have the power over Satan and sin in our lives. In this petition, Martin Luther succinctly wrote, and this is the small catechism, he wrote it during the time of the Reformation, and it's translated and given to us. It gives to us the commandments, and then it gives to us the creed concerning the various aspects of the Christian faith, creation, redemption, sanctification. And then right in the middle is the Lord's Prayer. It gives to us very succinctly the meaning of it. And Dr. Martin Luther, he succinctly wrote, he says about this seventh petition, we pray in this petition as the sum of all that our Father in heaven would deliver us from every evil body and soul, property and honor, and finally, when our last hour has come, to grant us a blessed end and graciously take us from this veil of tears to himself in heaven. You know, as you see the people around us at one time or another, departing into eternity, we see this reality. And one day it's going to happen to us. We don't know when. And therefore, this is a prayer that, you know, gives to us strength to know that He will deliver our soul from this time forth and forevermore. That is a promise that God has given to us, and He wants us to tarry with Him. You recall when we begin the study of this prayer, we gave to us this chart concerning the beginning of sin, when man fell, how God cursed the earth. And from then on, in Genesis chapter 3, the earth was plagued with violence, with sin, with death. And every possible sin that you see today, right, it's given, right, from Genesis chapter 3 onwards. Chapter 4, you see the family feud, how Cain killed Abel, the brother. And the family of the happy family of four was suddenly, you know, plunged into a time of grave mourning. And this chart here gives to us the plan of God to solve this sin problem that result in physical death. And you know, we in our camp we were discussing that there were three kinds of death, right? We said eternal death, spiritual death, and the second death, right? We have the spiritual death that comes, you know, when men fell, and the second is the physical death. Physical death comes, right, that when each one of us have to go through because of the curse. And then there is the second death, right? Those who are born again, right, would not have to go through the second death, which is death in the lake of fire in eternity. And it is a scary prospect. And the Lord gives to us this plea, right, from this prayer, to that we may be delivered from the evil that is in this world. And we closed last week with this plea. May the Lord teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world till He comes again. And we want to develop this thought further tonight. And the thought for us is the plea, the urgent plea, while God tarries, while we live in Satan's territory, we are indeed vulnerable. And God, and Satan hates God and Christians who are created in the image of God. He knows how to provide a custom-made temptation for each one of us. If you think that you are strong, then think again. The Lord wants us to realize in this prayer that we need Him, that we can fall anytime. And He wants us to realize that we are up against the organized, demonized forces of hell, unleashed and unloosed on earth today, in demonic, satanic spirit that is in the air. We are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. And yet we realize that Satan is a defeated enemy. Only with God's permission has he the power to tempt us. You recall the first book of the Bible, the book of Job, how God allowed Job to be tempted, right? We were mentioning this in our weekly, how Job lost his wealth, suddenly 10 children. You know, imagine you go for a funeral, 10 coffins in front of you. You know, we cannot imagine the kind of, you know, trauma that this man had to go through. Health, he lost his health within a very short span of time. And he was reduced to abject poverty. And what was his response? Job 1:20-22 says this. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And you see how this man's trial was prolonged. It spanned 42 chapters. And three friends came along to accuse him of sinning against God. And therefore God's wrath was upon him. That's why he is facing all this. And Job had to look to God for comfort. All the evil forces were unleashed upon this man. And how God prepared the heart of this man to withstand all the shocks that came. And God wants us to be prepared too. If the Lord would allow us to go through a trial, the Lord wants us to realize that He is with us. The Lord wants us to realize that, you know, He won't leave us to suffer, right, without feeling what we are going through. And therefore, He wants us to realize and understand that in these times, in such a time as this, we need to cling on to the Lord. Right? And faith in God was the thread that kept Job through his entire ordeal. He did not give up knowing that God would certainly do him good, although he could not see how, at the time of his trial, God would deliver him. This was the record of his triumphant faith. After 42 chapters, at the end of the 42 chapters, God restored him. Right? He had double the camels that he lost. He had double, right, all the things that he has lost. Well, you said God gave him 10 other children. Right? Was it double? Well, he didn't lose the 10. Right? That 10 was with the Lord. Remember, he was a man who prayed for his children every day. Right? How God honored the prayer of a pious man. And God finally, you know, lifted up the yoke and restored him. When the trial of life intensifies, that's where our faith must proportionally increase. Will you trust God during the time of your testing? The decision is made now and not when the trial comes. And so this seventh petition tells us that the battle is won by prayer. Deliver us from evil. We need to tarry with the Lord. Realize that we cannot fight this spiritual battle by our flesh, but on our knees. And that is what this seventh petition teaches us. I can think also of the example of Lot, how he dwelt in Sodom, and you know, he was much impacted by the moral degeneration that took place in that city. And we saw especially in the book of Genesis how it impacted his wife and children. It was his decision to go to Sodom. Being the head of the family, he wanted to get an earthly gain. And so he compromised his convictions to dwell in Sodom. Very different from his uncle Abraham, who lived far away. And Peter gave this assessment of Lot's life when he wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 6 to 9, he says, and turning the cities, the judgment, this is the judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Be careful and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their ungodly deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God provided a way of escape for Lot before destruction came upon Sodom, but he suffered lost. The city of Sodom was ripe for God's judgment, and judgment did come. And we see our world today fast turning into a Sodom. And I was listening to an interview between a Reformed pastor and a gay pastor in America. Imagine the kind of thing that is going on now. Right? The gay pastor said, now we are no longer second-class citizens. And the church was existing already for 45 years. And so now, with the legalization, imagine all this, the things that are happening. Right? And we saw also a bakery in Oregon who refused to make a cake for a gay marriage, a gay wedding, and how they face the wrath. They had to close down. Soon, you know, you can't make a choice to stand because persecution is going to come. And then the Apostle Paul too, in his missionary journeys, faced much opposition in the advancement of God's kingdom. And this is pretty much what we are going to face. Maybe not us in our generation, but certainly in the next generation. And that's why, you know, we said to our youths how they must be strong. They must know their roots. And they must understand, you know, where they come from. And they must be strong in their convictions. If not, the tide of the sodomic world would overcome them. Very serious. The Apostle Paul, when he advanced God's kingdom according to God's guidance into Asia Minor, into Europe, he was confronted with many, many difficulties. And he had to pray. And he said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 10, considering what he has gone through, the spiritual warfare that went on with every new outreach, that every new gospel outpost that the Lord brought him to begin. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he wrote. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Why did he say that? The Father of all of mercies. Well, because when you are facing the trial, you need the mercy of God, because the devil will tempt you sore. And the God of all comfort. You need comfort in a time of trial, which comforteth us in all our tribulation. That was his testimony, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So we need to abide in the Lord as we see evil proliferating around us. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. God brings to us afflictions that we may be tested, that we may see that truly our faith is real. And verse 7 it says, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that ye are partakers of the sufferings, for so shall ye be also of the consolation, if we would tarry with the Lord and walk with him, then we would also receive his commendation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength. You see, when you're pressed above strength, meaning that, you know, you're really no more strength, and yet you are still pressed. So it was to the limits. Right? They were sorely tried, in so much that we despaired even of life. That means, you know, living is as good as dying, as it were, you know, facing such trials. And, you know, he described how he was stoned. We cannot imagine how, you know, to be stoned, what it is like to be stoned. But we had the sentence of death, he says, in ourselves, and we should not, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. So he still had the faith to continue, even though he was faced with the full onslaught of the evil one upon him and his mission team. And he says that who he trusted in God, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. Look at the faith of this man. He went through a lot, and yet God preserved him. Paul and his companions trusted in God's deliverance and pleaded for God's mercy. That's why he said, the mercy of God abound in us, as the suffering of God also abound. In those critical moments, and later he encouraged his disciple Timothy to look to the Lord for strength and deliverance in the days ahead. Not going to be easy. The battle is not going to be less, but even more. And for us in our generation, you know, the Lord could be coming any time. You think the kind of spiritual battle would be less? No. It will be more intense as the minutes tick, as the time passes. And so the Lord wants us to realize the urgency of the times that we are in. And Paul wrote these words of encouragement for Timothy. He said, but thou, 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 14, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and in Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. You see, although the Lord delivered him, he still had a lot to endure. And God wants us to realize that we really have need of patience to tarry with God in our times of affliction, in our times of testing. And he says, yea, all that live will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But thou, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And at the close of the epistle, you know, this was his swan song. And he wrote in 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He has run his race. He has fought his fight. It was a good fight, he said. And now he tells Timothy that, you know, you are, the baton is passed to you. And now you have to fight that fight. And you have to be strong. The same way the Lord has delivered me, he will deliver you. And as God had given Paul the victory, this same God will give Timothy victory as he waits upon him. God wants us to be assured of his presence as we walk in this evil world. And so this is the plea of one who understands his strength is insufficient. Right? You remember we said that Paul was tested above strength, right? To the limit. And he realized that, you know, his strength was insufficient for the task unless God intervenes and helps. That's why we pray. That's why we need to pray. That's why we have a prayer meeting. This is a prayer and posture of humility and humble submission of God's power. We realize that we are unequal to the task to live victoriously in Satan's world. If God is not with us, we cannot succeed. And this is a prayer for God to take action, an active petition for help, but deliver us from evil. Serious times ahead. Martin Luther wrote in his book, The Small Catechism, right at the back, how the head of the family should teach his household to pray morning and evening. And you see an overarching thought in his prayer, that is that God deliver us from evil. Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. I pray thee, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, this is the morning prayer, that thou hast kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray thee that thou wouldest keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that my doings and life may please thee. For into thy hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let thy holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. You know, the 16th century Reformation was a serious battle against the Roman Catholic Church. 1,000 years of darkness. And imagine the kind of battle this man had to go through. And these are the words which are penned out of the furnace. You know, it is through the furnace of great testing that these words were framed. And he was a priest. And after, from the Reformation, he did not continue in celibacy, but he got married and he reared children. And this was a prayer that he taught to his family. Then the evening prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thank thee, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, that thou hast graciously kept me this day. And I pray thee that thou wouldest forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into thy hands I commend myself, and my body and soul, and all things. And let thy holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. We need to pray this. We need to ask for God to protect us. We must not be presumptuous to think that we can do without the power of God, you know, over us, protecting us. You know, that constant vigilance is what this prayer is all about. And David, in his prayer in the psalm, is a paraphrase of this urgent plea for deliverance as he endeavored to live for the Lord in his life. He wrote in Psalm 138, verse 7, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and that right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. We need the mercy of God. It is God's mercy that delivers us from trouble. We are praying that God in His mercy will help us in our time of need. Every spiritual endeavor that we would undertake, you be sure that you will not go forward unopposed. Alas, as we plead, urgently plead, we realize that we have a chief advocate before the Father. While we pray, we realize how difficult it is. The battle is so keen and our weakness is so great. You know, we realize, you know, in our flesh, we are weak, we can fall. And the encouragement comes that we have a chief advocate before the Father. Christ is pleading and interceding on our behalf. While we pray in His name, He brings this before the Father. While we pray, He prays and with us. And He will help us to prevail. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the Father, who also maketh intercession for us. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25 and 1 John 1:1 to 2. My little children, these things are right unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation of our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. If we have sinned against God, then we can come to God to confess our sins before Him. And the promise of God is that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and our trespasses. Finally, I'd like to give a word of hope for the Christian from these verses. That Jesus is tarrying with us. We are not alone as we wrestle against the forces of evil in this world that threatens to overtake us. We can rest assured because Jesus has overcome the world for us. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. Be encouraged. You are not alone. I have overcome the world. Christ has overcome it for us. And this we must know. Because in the sorest trial, if we have not these promises, then we sit, gone, die. This time cannot make it. But if you know God and His word and what Christ has done, then be of good cheer. You will yet prevail again with Christ our Lord. May we pray as the Lord taught us and testify like the Apostle Paul. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for giving to us understanding out of Thy word how we need to pray to be delivered from the attacks of the evil one. O Lord, we realize how weak we are, but we also realize that testings and trials come with Thy permission. And so, Lord, we realize that we are up against a defeated foe, a controlled foe, and yet we realize the power of Satan and our own weakness to yield and to succumb to temptations and testings. O God, may Thou grant to us faith May thou grant to us understanding of thy word, that we may know how to ward off every temptation with thy promises and with thy divine power. May thou deliver us for thy mercy's sake. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.